Hi there, welcome to Talk Canicross. I'm Janetta George.
And I'm Gail Walker. We're here today to talk all things Canicross, the fun way to get fit with your dog.
So each month we'll be joined by a special guest or two. We'll hear from professionals, regular Canicrossers, and also dog and human experts in their field. It will be real people and real stories.
So we hope you'll join us, whether it's for training tips, dog talk, or just for fun and encouragement. This is Talk Canicross, brought to you by DogFit. And don't forget to hit subscribe and keep in touch with all things Canicross. Hi, welcome to our latest edition of Talk Canicross with me, Gail Walker and Janetta George. We're really, really excited today to be joined by DogFit trainer and canine behaviourist Claire Grierson. Claire is founder of Muddy Mutleys, based in Enfield, North London. Having seen her list of qualifications, they're as long as my arm. Unbelievable. But yeah, we're so pleased that she's with us today to share some of her tips on how to use cues and other skills and techniques to help us ensure we get the best out of our Canicross training. And as we all know, it's really important to build that all-important bond with your dog. So Claire's here today to explain how we can make the most of that too. So it's really a great opportunity for everybody, no matter what level you are at Canicross, to really improve your specific Canicross skills. So first of all, I'd like to say a really big welcome to you, Claire. It's so lovely to see you today.
Hello, nice to see you too. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're really pleased that you're joining us today. And we know, and even just looking at your website, you've got so many accreditations. And I know you've been a dog behaviourist and dog trainer for many years. And more recently, as Gail mentioned, you're a dog fit trainer as well. We'd love to hear a bit more about your background, how you arrived at being a dog trainer, and then obviously from there, how you came across dog fit as well.
I've been a busy girl. I grew up in a family surrounded by animals. My mum was a biology teacher and my dad couldn't walk past the local pet shop without coming home with something. So it was always a busy household, eight cats, budgies, you name it. So I always had a real love for animals. And I also happened to be a runner, so that was quite handy. So I used to do a lot of cross country as a child as well. So I kind of fell into the dog training and behaviour, just as it was always something that I was really fascinated by. And the Canicross was just the perfect opportunity to get back to running, running with my dog. I looked at DogFit because I wanted to have the right backup in doing that and the right accreditation and support behind doing that. I don't like to do things by halves. I like to do things properly. So yeah. That's how it all came about.
Brilliant. So how exactly does the Canicross side of things help then? How does that complement what you do on the dog training side?
I think it's really useful. It's brilliant for rescue dogs. It's really good for dogs that struggle in the presence of other dogs and human beings. You know, we can really kind of get them having the exercise that they need. For the dogs that aren't really allowed to be off lead so much, they get to really have a good run. And we're building a bond with them. That human dog relationship is all important, really. And it's a great opportunity for that.
So you're obviously running all sorts of classes, I imagine, from puppy classes. And I'm sure you're doing a lot of virtual ones at the moment as well. But tell us how you've maybe a couple of stories of how you've taken maybe some dogs that maybe are reactive or maybe how Canicrossers, you've worked with them and taken them on a Canicross journey as well.
Again, one particular rescue dog that I've recently started working with, really shy dog, what we would kind of call a bit shut down, very sort of suspicious of humans and with dogs alike. And we've just started really slowly with her. We've given her lots of opportunities to sniff in between doing a little bit of running. And slowly, slowly, to see her confidence build has just been absolutely amazing. So started off without my dog. We've now introduced my dog and we're slowly introducing her to the group. And the difference in this dog's demeanour is beautiful. You can almost, wow. you can see it. And then other dogs I've had, you know, again, dogs that weren't getting the exercise that one particular little girl, Misty, not getting the exercise that she needed because she was a little bit fearful. She's now getting the exercise that she needs, which means she's calmer at home. And again, she's now running alongside other dogs. So her confidence has increased amazingly. You know, she's now able to be fairly close by to other dogs and be able to kind of handle that and actually enjoy that interaction now. So It's massive.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Interesting. So how do you introduce a dog that's fearful then into Canicross? Because I understand, obviously, we know from our own experiences, it's great sport for them and gives them focus. But I just wondered how you as a trainer, you know, it's the benefit for them. But how do you first introduce them?
Really slowly. So, you know, it's all about making sure that they've got plenty of space. I would introduce them to the equipment first and ensure that they were comfortable with that before I'd do anything else. And then, you know, it's really about kind of making sure that you're tuned into their body language. They will tell you if they're comfortable or not. You know, it's important we learn to read our dogs, and we give them space and time to really kind of show us how, you know, the way, really. This particular girl, Roxy, we took her out on one particular run and we didn't get very far. We probably got about, I don't know, 500 metres, and it was quite clear that she was not up for it. So we turned around, took her back to the car and tried again a few days later, and she was brilliant. So it's important that we do it in their time and not our time.
Absolutely. One of the questions that we get asked an awful lot, and obviously we have customers coming to us to buy Canicross harnesses, is that they always say, you know, how is a dog going to understand the difference between a Canicross harness and when you walk on, you know, you're walking to heel? And I assume that you do lessons where you're obviously teaching dogs to walk to heel. How do you explain the difference between those two to new customers?
A lot of it is building up a different context and different associations. So if you're walking, you'd be using a different harness for your Canicross than you would your normal sort of loose lead walking. So you could go for a slightly different colour, bearing in mind which colours dogs can and can't process. but also you're giving them a different context. So you might have a double-ended lead for your loose lead and you're using a different harness and you're attaching the lead to the front and the back of that harness. Whereas with Canicross, it's a slightly different harness, it's a slightly different setup. And you can include cues in that as well. So once you're starting to teach the dog various cues, again, that's contextual, and they will learn to kind of associate different consequences and different environmental feedback with that.
I guess they're seeing that your excitement as well when you've got your trainers on, the dogs really pick.
They're very good at picking up on our body cues as well, aren't
they? I know. When I get up in the morning, if I put my trainers on and the dogs think I'm about to go out, but actually I'm maybe going cycling or something, you can always see them put their head down and skulk away and go, oh, it's not us, no Canicross harness.
And it's very interesting you said about colour. I mean, that is quite impressive. So I might have to really think about, am I picking the right colour of harness for my dog? If I next time make one of my boys to wear a pink harness and he doesn't want to wear but no, I didn't realise that it, maybe not all dogs are probably that
no,
pick up pink, on that so well. But
pink's likely to be a sort of shade of kind of grey to a dog.
Okay, right, but yeah.
Oh, really? And bright orange as well. That's a popular colour when we're selling our harnesses.
Kong made lots of toys in red, but actually red doesn't really figure in a dog's eyesight. Right. So it's more for us.
Really?
Yeah, it's more for us than it is for the dogs, yeah.
Obviously, you were saying about how you get a dog used to walking in a harness versus to heel, and that's quite, I mean, it's for dogs of all ages, but obviously it's really essential when you're training a younger dog. On the subject, you know, of younger dogs still, you know, how do you advise clients to keep their dogs calm and focused during a Canicross run? Because we get a lot of questions around that. Young, excitable dogs. I've got a puppy myself that
we can hear in the background.
Canicross with me, and you can probably hear him. Trying to keep him occupied right now. But yeah, I'm eager to get started with him when he's old enough, when he's fully grown. But I will have that challenge. You know, he's going to probably be excited. He'll see the other dogs, and I don't know how he'll be exactly. But I just I've got a good idea. But yeah, how do you manage that to make sure that they just start as you want them to go on?
So it's really important with any of our dogs that we're very careful what we reinforce. And reinforcement doesn't necessarily have to be kind of treats or toys. Reinforcement can be feedback. So if you've got a dog that's barking, the worst thing we can do is tell it to shut up, because actually that's feedback and we're kind of barking too. So I would consider a couple of things. You know, one is the distance away that you are from the stimulation and the interaction with the other dog. So, you know, too close if you're too close to the other dog's going to get, you know, your dog's going to get very excited and not be able to kind of control themselves. So if you take a step back, you might find that you regain that focus from your dog. So work on thresholds, work on, you know, how close is too close, you know, how far away do I need to be where my dog can still check in with me and give me eye contact. Start getting them used to that environment before you join the group to run. If you're not running, you can use treats for the eye contact that you get, and just teaching them that calm gets them the reward, and being overexcited doesn't really pay off. Build them into the environment, first of all.
Just to take that one little step further, I know sometimes when people have got an older dog and then they get a younger puppy, and obviously then that's grown up to a year old, and then they might try and run the two of them together. And we do see this where you've got the younger puppy and you've maybe got them on a double line or a splitter, and the younger dog thinks it's a great game, and they're obviously then trying to play with the older dog. What would you advise in that situation? Would you get the runner, the canny crosser, to walk until the younger dog has calmed down a little bit?
Yeah, I think I would. I mean, I think I would perhaps try and make the dog's routine, and on the side be really building up the younger dog to be able to control itself in that situation. Maybe do perhaps do like shorter practice runs with the younger dog.
Just with one dog on its own?
Yeah, teach it a calm focus and build it up very, very slowly. The problem with putting them together straight away is it's not always fair on the older dog.
Yes.
And I think I would build the younger one up individually quite slowly until they understand the rules of engagement, and then maybe put them together for shorter distance and build that up really slowly as well.
I mean, it sounds like a lot of it's to do with just being patient and putting things into practice properly, and I think it's very, we all fall, you know, foul of that. We all want to rush into it and we can't wait to get them out running. And there's some really sound advice about if you do it properly at the onset, because you do with dog training, don't you? It's the same approach when you have a puppy. You know, we all persevere with really putting the training in, but you've got to continue it through, so it's consistent, I imagine. And canny cross is probably the same.
I think what we need to do, you know, with any sort of form of training is, you know, you build up the foundations first. If you've got very good, solid foundations, then you build a structure that is going to be really solid. And I always liken dog training to an onion, really. It's made up of very, very small, thin, translucent layers, and you get a nice, big, juicy onion at the end of it.
When you've done all that training. So one of the other questions that we get asked a lot is, even though some dogs obviously love canny cross, and once they're out there and they're running, they absolutely love it, we've had customers that might say, well, when I pick the harness up, the dog runs away because it doesn't want the harness put on. But we know the dog loves canny cross because when we're out there and when we're running, you know, the dog absolutely loves it. What advice would you give to someone that's finding that a dog is a little bit reluctant when they're trying to put the harness on?
I would be playing some really good games with that harness. I would be encouraging them to stick their nose on the harness and associate that with a really, really nice treat, and then get to the point where you can actually hold the harness up and encourage the dog to put their head through the hole of the harness and associate that with a really lovely treat. It's basically conditioning them to and desensitizing them to that harness until they actually, it's their choice to put their head through the opening of that harness, and they're building up really good emotional associations with it. And once it's their choice to stick their head in, you can then start doing the harness up, and it's no longer an issue because, you know, they feel good about that harness, they feel good about putting it on, and then, you know, obviously they get a lovely run at the end of that as well. So it's a win-win. But again, it's about taking time to make sure that they associate that harness with cheese.
Yeah,
I think yeah, squeezy cheese works for my dogs, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's sometimes with people in a bit of a rush, you know, it's like you're rushing out the door, rushing for the harness. And I think that's, you know, as you said, it's probably taking a bit of time and rewarding that can get through that part.
And also when you've got a young dog, I mean, I'm doing that with my puppy. I'm getting him used to the harness now. So he just knows, so he's happy to put his head through. I'm not going out for a run with him, but I'm using it for, you know, just have him walk for a walk and get used to pulling. And so for him, it's just normal. And since I've had him, I've been using the harness. So it's not strange.
They basically will habituate to it in the end. It's really important that we, everything that we do with their little dogs is a positive experience as much as possible, and that they make really good positive associations with things like harnesses and leads, and you know, it's not a big battle.
Something that comes up quite regularly, we have a lot of customers who have reactive dogs or take on a rescue dog, so they don't know what they're going to be like. I know firsthand, I have rescue dogs, and not all of them I can just let off the lead and run around I've had them at an older age, so you know, they come with, you know, some history. But we've always at DogFit welcomed people with reactive dogs because, you know, we found it can be a positive experience. So in your experience, what would you say to people who have reactive dogs that want to start Canicross? And you've probably got a number of clients that come to you in that capacity, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I would say go for it. I would say give them space, make sure that you're keyed into their body language. I think with reactive dogs, the main thing that we really need to look at is why, you know, what is the function of their behavior? Is it fear-based? Are they trying to create space for themselves? And if that is the case, sometimes we have to look a little bit deeper as to, you know, what the reactivity is about, and make sure that we're allowing for that within a Canicross environment. On the whole, though, I would say plenty of space, making sure that, again, we take it all in their time. You know, if they're really uncomfortable, then we should just kind of abort mission, really. But with the endorphins and with that nice release of energy, and if we do take our time over it, then they can build confidence and start to really enjoy the activity. And again, make those lovely associations. We've been with other dogs, actually can be really good. It can be really good fun. Plus, we're giving them that exercise, which can get rid of a lot of frustration for them. If they're not able to be off lead, then, you know, they're not potentially getting the physical exercise that they perhaps need, depending on their breed. So there's a lot of positives in it, as long as we listen to the dog.
That's quite interesting, because you say about abort mission, if they're not really up for it. So how do you ensure they'll be up for it next time? You know, what's different? Is it just timing? Is it just getting they're in the right mindset? Or
yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if we give them a choice and we listen to them and give them options, then we tend to build up confidence in them. When we start forcing them into situations, it's kind of counterproductive. So if you were frightened of spiders, shutting you in a cupboard full of spiders wouldn't make you like spiders anymore. But if you were able to see a spider at a distance and I gave you rewards for that, then you, the next time, would perhaps want to take a step closer to that spider.
Yeah.
So it's all about building up those tolerance levels. And if the dog knows that if they don't feel comfortable, that you're going to take them out of that situation, they'll be more comfortable to enter into that situation for a second time, and you gradually build them up. Once they know that they've got options and they can trust the situation, then they'll go back for more.
Oh, that's really interesting. On the subject of reactive dogs, and we run with dogs with muzzles as well, and we've written a few blog posts about it. What would your advice be, Claire, about how to introduce your dog to wearing a muzzle?
Wearing a muzzle in the same way as a harness, condition the muzzle in the same way as you would a harness. Make it a fun thing to have on, make it enjoyable, play games, put squeezy cheese in it. There are some fabulous videos for muzzle training, one in particular by a guy called Chirag Patel, who is one of my favourite behaviourists out there. We can make them enjoy putting on muzzles and, again, desensitise them to it. I think all dogs should be muzzle trained, if I'm honest.
Yeah. So that would be that you do that before, obviously, so the dog is very used to the muzzle before you go out on a Canicross run, obviously. That wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah, I think really we should all be muzzle training our puppies, our young dogs. I'd be muzzle training well before you take them out running, definitely.
That's really interesting, because we're all guilty of just doing it because we have to. And actually, you don't know a situation when you might need to. And it's not just reactive dogs, is it? They might be nervous at going to the vets, or they might eat the wrong thing off the ground. So it's I can sort of see where you're coming from. Or they might end up in an unknown situation where you just want to be extra careful.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing we want to do is have a stressed dog, you know, that needs medical attention, and we can't really access that, you know, that medication because the fear of being bitten. So it is a good idea to think there about muscle training. You just never know when you're going to need it.
Yeah.
And it's quite interesting because we've actually got a really good blog of one of our customers that actually runs her dog in a muzzle, and she's always been really comfortable in it, and she trained her to wear it. Took a long time. It took a number of weeks, but the benefits were there afterwards. The dog was happy, not trying to push her head into the ground and take it off, and it gives the owner confidence, doesn't it, as well, I think.
Yeah, it means that a dog can be a dog. They can pick up on our stress. So if we take out that stress for ourselves, then the dog's going to be much more comfortable. And if it's a well-fitting harness as well, the dog doesn't need to really be aware that there's anything different. It's just about making sure that we do things properly and in the dog's own time again, really.
So what advice as well would you give, Claire, about dogs pulling into the harness and pulling on a canicross run? I mean, one of the questions we get asked, some dogs are reluctant to pull forward. They might be more used to running by someone's side. What advice would you give to help train a dog to really pull into its harness and pull in front of...
Work out what their motivation is. What is it that really makes them tick? What really, do they love? What's their top 10 fun things? Are they toys? Is it a certain type of treat? And what you can do is you could put that item down on a target at a distance away, have all your gear on, and then put a cue to them pulling towards that target. Mm-hmm. It's quite important not to overrun the target, but set something up so that they're desperate to get to that thing. You can then cue it and then build that distance up a little bit further, keep building it up until that cue becomes associated with that end reward. Mm. So yeah, that's one way of doing it. And then when you are out running, if there's anything that they will naturally pull towards, so for example, a squirrel crossing the road, then introduce your cue at that point. So the dog starts to associate the motion of pulling forward with that cue, and they start to understand what that actually means.
So you're talking about a verbal cue though. So if you're going to, I mean, I use the word on to my dogs. So if I want them to pull in, if I say on, I can feel them do that. So what you're saying is that you would obviously have their toy, plant that some distance away, go back, and then go on as they are obviously then pulling forward towards their toy.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And anything that, if you're naturally, if there's anything in the environment that naturally gives them that pull, then yeah, absolutely use that and be consistent in the cue that you give it. You could even use the dog's favourite person in the whole world and get them pulling towards that person. We've got a friend called Lucy, who my dog will absolutely pull towards. And actually, my son started running with us. I've now called him Pigeon.
Okay.
My dog's called Muttley. If Luke is running ahead of me, Pigeon, my dog will pull like mad to get to Luke. Yeah. And so I associate that with the cue. And the cue's now Pigeon and we're off. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's why one of the methods we often use if a dog doesn't pull is if they switch with the dog fit trainer and switch dogs, that they're going to want to chase after their owner.
So that's another brilliant idea. But it's worth putting a cue on it because then you've got that. You've got that cue, that kind of recognition in, actually, I know what that means now.
Yeah, and I guess it's about being consistent, isn't it? So don't say on one day and then say run faster the next day. It's got to be, you've got to be really consistent with what you're asking the dog to do, so it recognises
it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, consistency is key. Yeah, definitely.
I tend to use let's go, and I've taught my dogs that. But if they go to sniff, I say on by, and they know to keep going. But I have got one stretch on one of my runs where it's slightly uphill and there's lots of distractions. So I normally shout out, "Where's them rabbits or squirrels?" And they just start flying. It's amazing. And I'm thinking the only thing I've got to do is just keep my breath to keep, to call out the words. Because when you're out of breath, it's quite hard. So you've got to talk as well. But it works every time. So I'll stick to it.
And another question we get asked as well, and hopefully you can help our listeners with this one, is obviously with male dogs, and when you're running, obviously the dogs do need to go to the toilet, so that's fine. We obviously take that into consideration. But male dogs obviously like to mark their territory. So how do you encourage them when you're on a run to actually sort of focus on what they're doing and not want to mark every single tree that's on the way?
Yeah, good call. So I would give them every opportunity to do that before you set off. So, you know, really give them opportunities to sniff and mark and really kind of get into the zone. And then again, like everything else, build it up slowly. So you might run for a certain distance and then stop and let them have a sniff and have a little mark. And then gradually increase the distance that you're running before you stop, and you kind of reinforce the running with, okay, now it's your time to do what you want to do. So again, you could introduce a cue to that and just say break or sniff or wee, whatever you want.
Yeah.
But I think over time, and certainly in a group, once you really start to get going, then they're less and less interested in that, particularly if you've given them a chance to do that before you start. Yeah. And again, it's contextual. They realise, well, in this context, I just get to run, and there'll be a point where we stop later on.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I know that's quite, like Janetta said, it's quite a popular question, but I do think if you're in a group, there's, as you said, they're more focused because there's other dogs around. I think it's when someone's running on their own, especially when we've had lockdown, it's probably been more obvious, but that's the time to spend time, you know, teaching them the cues, I imagine, you know, use that time wisely.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you could be teaching them the cues, you know, all the time throughout the day. You know, there's just little opportunities where, you know, they're learning all the time, you know. Mm. In a normal walk, you could be sort of using some of those cues, just dropping them in there. But it is really about context more than anything else, I think.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, there are so many things we need to teach our dogs from a young age, or even adult dogs that we're starting canicross out for the first time. So there's a long list of things. In your experience, and what would you recommend are the most essential ones to focus on first? If someone's just starting out on canicross with their dog, you know, what commands would you recommend are probably the most important ones?
For me, it would be the on-by cue, because whether or not you're competing or just running with the group, you don't want your dog veering off towards a poor unsuspecting bystander, or to pick something up off the ground, or actually to go and have a sniff, because, you know, obviously it's going to put pressure on you and not be too good on the dog if you're kind of tripping over them. So the on-by cue for me is the most important one, and we treat that just like, you teach that just like you would a kind of leave it cue, really. You might set up some really low value treats and you teach the dog to kind of run towards a much higher value treat, and again introduce the cue so that they know to, you know, whatever it is that they've seen, actually there's something a bit better. They hear that cue, there's a better reward on offer.
Okay, anything else you'd say?
Anything else? I think the high con cue, to be honest.
Right. Yeah, want them to pull.
Yeah, definitely.
Or the squirrel, you know, command.
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent.
One of the things you said earlier, which I think is important as well, is observing dogs' behaviour, isn't it? It's, I mean, one of the things about canicross, it's a partnership between the runner and your dog, and I guess, especially when you're new, is observing your dog's behaviour and you can tell how motivated they are, how keen they are. But what would you say would be the key to success when you are sort of starting to introduce your dog to canicross? What's the key thing for someone that's totally new to the sport?
Well, from a human point of view, take your time.
And from
the dog's point of view, you know, build yourselves up really, really gradually and enjoy it. Have fun with it. It should be enjoyable. And I think sometimes we can sort of set off and think, right, I'm going to run 3K and I'm not going to stop. I think give yourselves chances to stop. Catch your breath, check that the dog's okay, give the dog a chance to sniff, and make sure there's plenty of fresh water opportunities on your way round as well for the dog. But yeah, I think I would practice the cues, practice some of the little exercises before you set off. And each time you run, pick one that you want to work on for that particular session, and just take it in stages, take it really slowly, and don't have any pressure.
That's sensible. So before we sort of close, it's been brilliant. You've answered so many great questions, and hopefully I'm sure we've addressed a lot that our clients would have, and it's been really fascinating to talk to you. But one thing that I do know about you that other people might not be aware of is that you're also a dog yoga instructor. Isn't that right? And I just love to know a little bit more about it because it's so fascinating. What's involved, and you know, how did you decide that's something you wanted to, you know, to do?
So real dog yoga is something that a lady called Jo Rosie Haffenden kind of came up with a while back. I trained with her at Battersea Dogs Home actually. What we do is we teach the dogs to hold certain positions that are really good stretches for them, but also key into the parasympathetic nervous system, which is to help the dogs feel calm. So it's a bit like smile therapy. If we smile, we feel happy. There are certain positions that we can encourage a dog to practice that make them feel happy or comfortable or more relaxed. So the theory is the more we can get them to practice those behaviors and postures, the more likely they are to refer to those naturally when they're in the wild, as it were.
Right.
So really it's a calming technique. It's to help kind of boisterous dogs find the ability to feel calm and actually to enjoy feeling calm. A lot of our dogs don't know how to do that. We're very good at teaching our dogs to do stuff. We're not very good at teaching our dogs to kind of pause and take a breath to really kind of think how they feel intrinsically. So yeah, so it's really good for that. And it's also quite a good way of helping them recover from any injuries, a little bit of rehab. Mm. And we should all be checking our dogs really every week to see if they're, you know, if they can't hold certain postures, or if they're sitting slightly differently or holding themselves slightly differently. So it's really useful for that as well.
So how do you get your dog to do the cobra then? Dying to know.
You shape it with a clicker.
And just before we finish, Claire, one question we like to ask all our guests. What would you say to anyone that's considering taking up Canicross and they've maybe read about the sport, they've seen, you know, stuff online, what would be your one piece of advice to them?
Just do it. It's such good fun. It's social. It's just a really lovely team thing to do. We have a really good natter. but it's, you know, it's a why walk the dog when you can go and have a really lovely run with the dog and really enjoy it. And you may not think you can run, but by the time you've done just a few, you do get into it quite quickly. There's nothing better really than coming home thinking, wow, I just did that. So
yeah, hear. It's been so wonderful to talk to you today, Claire. So thank you so much for your time. And wow, there's so much information you've shared with us. And I guess none of us have any excuses now not to get out and start putting some of it into action. I know I will with my puppy and get him, you know, some training in now, some of the cues, because I think it will be valuable later. Definitely going to take, you know, advantage of that. But yeah, it's been brilliant to have you on. And, you know, thank you so much. It's been really fascinating.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Claire. And thanks to everyone for listening. So don't forget to subscribe to Talk Canicross.